Hi, I'm Dr. Marta Catalinas. I'm a pediatrician. I am talking to you from Round Rock, Texas. And I'm here with my friend, Fer Candil. And we are alone today because our mom of three little kids is not available today, and we are missing her, Veronica. But she will be here next time, and we'll have other moms with questions. Because, Fer, we are mothers too, but our kids are older, so she brings the freshness of the new questions. Although I can tell what questions the parents have, because of course in my practice I am exposed to that every day. But how are you?
Good. How are you, Marta? So I'm Fer Candil. I'm a chef and I have a catering business here in Round Rock, Texas. I'm a mother of five older kids, adult kids, so no more babies. And yes, we are missing actually our mom, Veronica, mom of three kids. And you say perfectly, they brought us the freshness about the babies and the kids and many questions. So it's so important to have you not only like our channel or our program, just send your questions, the themes you really want us to talk about. We can gave you our experience, of course, Marta, her knowledge and everything as a pediatrician, but we really want to help you, to give you some advice or experience, resolve your questions, your doubts about your babies, especially when you are the first time mom. So I think it's always, sometimes we never forget. I'm so happy the topic we are talking today is about the hygiene in the babies, in the newborns. How important is this topic? Because we are talking a lot now during the pandemic about washing our hands, how important is our hygiene. So we thought probably it's helping many moms or new parents when they are thinking about the hygiene of their newborn. So I remember when I had my first baby, my first boy, I was so scared, Marta, because after back home with him and start giving him some baths and everything, his skin start changing and peel it. And I was so scared because I didn't know if I use the wrong shop for her, for him, or what I'm doing wrong. So I remember I went to the pediatrician like, look, what happened to my baby? What I'm doing wrong? So probably you are laughing when I tell you this one. I was not scared with the rest of them, of course, because I learned from the first. But I think it's so important to know about how these things happen naturally in our babies and how we can take care of them.
Yes, pues we can start with just with that topic. Then with the skin of the newborn, yes, changes, has to peel off all over. And in some cases it's so dramatic. Even if, I think moms today and fathers are very prepared. They go to prenatal classes. They talk about what to do with the newborn. The hospitals promote these. They all have classes where they even show the mom delivery rooms. So the fear of the unknown is not there. I think as a society, we're doing a great job at getting parents prepared. And we tell them the skin is going to peel off, so don't worry about it. But in some cases, it's so dramatic, like you say, it just falls off in big chunks. It's very dramatic. In those cases, my advice is do nothing. Just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. It will continue the process. If you cannot look at it anymore, if it's bothering you more than it's bothering the baby, if you want to use a lotion that, like Lubriderm, and I'm not supposed to give brands, but this is such a for decades, it's been a big help for us because it tends to not irritate the skin of the newborn. And some people say, well, I'm using natural oils, essential oils that are very popular these days, yes, here in America. And they are made from plants and from trees. And yes, they are natural, they are organic, but remember, when we have sensitivities, when we have eczema, when we have skin problems, we are usually sensitive to nature. And so just using a product that is organic and natural does not guarantee that your skin is not going to react. And sometimes the skin of the newborn, after repetitive use of those essential oils, ends up giving you a rash. So you started out with the normal process of peeling, and now you end up with a rash that now needs to be treated. And so to avoid that, just use something mild, like, I don't know, Lubriderm. In some cultures and some families like to give the baby a massage, which is, I'm sure the baby loves that. And so that serves also to facilitate the massage process to have some Lubriderm there. But other than that, I would say, do nothing. Just leave it alone. It will go away in about a month or so. It will look like new.
Wow.
So sometimes less is more. In this case, definitely doing nothing is the right thing to do.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And one, I think, of the things scare more or worry more the parents is about the rash on the diapers. Because some kids, for any reason, like you say, every kid is totally different. Every kid has different sensitivity on their skin. Some kids are very strong, never give you any problem with anything, no food, no hygiene or something. But other kids are really very sensitive. And more of the rash came from the diapers. Of course, now diapers are more efficient, much better than the diapers we use. I start using the cloth napkins with my first boy, and this changed all the time for good. So what can you tell us about that?
Yes, and yes, there's people for all opinions, and some swear by the cloth diapers. I can tell you that since these commercial diapers became so absorbent, the amount of time that the skin of the baby is in contact with urine or with stool is minimized. And that improves the health of the skin. I have to tell you also that, contrary to popular belief, urine is not that bad for the skin. And if you look at the components of the creams that you put in your face every night before you go to sleep or in the morning, or all those creams that we women use, most of them will contain urea or uric acid. So it's not, well, if you leave the baby in contact with the same diaper for the whole day, then of course any product can be an irritant. But in general, I think we produce more diaper rash by cleaning too much, by using too strong baby wipes. Even the organic, natural, all the qualifications that the manufacturer can put in there, but they all irritate. They all contain certain chemicals just to keep them wet alone. And those can be an irritant to a certain type of babies. And I will say to a significant number of them, like you say, some babies don't get irritated with anything. But I think a significant enough number of babies get irritated. And once the diaper rash is created, then it can lead to infections, because you are breaking the natural barrier of the body, which is the skin. And then you can get infections. And so to avoid that, my advice to parents is don't use wipes. There are exceptions for every case, but just use a washcloth with water. Or if you don't want to be carrying a washcloth and dirty one, bring it home. It's just paper towels, the kitchen paper towels, just wherever you are going, even if you are outside of the house, you're going to have access to water most likely. Exceptions, well, you are in an airplane, you are planning a long trip, you may not be able to stop for a while. Then, of course, the wipes are a great practical solution. But for every day, for every single diaper change, that repetitive use can lead to irritation. So if you want to prevent it, just use water, just clean with water, that's it.
Yeah, it's funny to hear that, because I remember to have one bowl with a little natural sponge for my kids, and it's what I did all the time. So the wipes was with my last one, and I use only when I travel or have to drive for a long trip, something like emergency. But I don't use a lot the wipes, First, because it's more money. So mm-hmm. when it's the number fifth, you have to look your budget all the time about diapers, wipes. So you can grab your budget a lot. And I think it works very well with my kids. So I'm so glad to hear from you, like the best way to keep our babies clean and with a good hygiene, especially on the bath, is with water and natural things and the cheaper one.
Right. And there is not going to be a way to be perfect because, you know, I am telling you, I think diapers are great with the commercial diapers with my kids. I use them with them. I didn't have the time or the stamina to be washing diapers all the time. Some people like to use just the regular cloth diapers, and that's okay too. Look what we are doing to our ecosystem with so much garbage generated with diapers. So that's a problem. The same thing with wipes. You have to discard them. So you are creating more things to put out there in the landfill. So there is always pros and cons. But when it comes to if the health of the skin or the health of the baby is going to be impacted, then just use the more simple. Just water. Water will prevent, will keep you away from a lot of problems, and it will save you some money. So it's a win-win situation.
Yes, yes. And talking about diapers, there are another thing, like probably we think a lot, or parents think a lot, about the cream on the bath. Because sometimes when we have to apply the cream, when the rash appear, or we can use the cream, avoid the rash appear. So what is the common sense, or what is the balance to use the cream? I know you have to have this cream at your home when you have a baby, but when we have to use with prudence, you know, like common sense.
Yes. So diaper rash ointment, it's great to have handy. That's something that definitely, like you say, you have to have at home. Most of them have zinc oxide as a component, because it acts as a barrier. If you look at these ointments, they are very thick. It is kind of difficult to spread, right? So because they provide a barrier between the irritant, that in this case, the diaper or the urine or the poop, and the skin. And so some babies are perfectly, have a healthy, intact skin, even in that area. You use water to clean it, to clean the area. You clean it often enough. And they don't need to use those creams because they never, just by those simple rules, you're keeping the skin healthy and they don't need that zinc oxide. Some babies, if you leave the diaper there for one extra minute or a few more times, then they start getting a little redness. So you can see that that baby may be extra sensitive. So for those, and you learn that with time, you may want to use the diaper ointment as a preventative, just as a barrier before the contact even happens. This is something that you're going to learn after having the baby for a couple of weeks at home. You're going to learn these things. The best thing to avoid or to maintain the health of the skin is, as I say, just try to minimize the contact with chemicals. Just use water only to clean, or soapy water. I have mothers who tell me that when the baby gets a big messy diaper, you know, those that go up the back and all that, they just take the baby to the shower.
Yes.
So that's the best way. If you start using wipes to clean all that big mess, just think about all the irritation that you're going to produce, even in other parts of the skin.
Wow, that's important thing. And the other thing, Martha, we miss Veronica because she usually has a lot of questions, but I just tried to put on her feet and thinking the things that she's worried about it. I remember my mom always was obsessed when showed me how to give the bath to my babies about cleaning very well between the toes, on the feet, on their feet, even between the fingers, on their hands, and under the arms, and of course, the ears. So I don't know, because I use very different opinions about that, even with my kids. Some people say, no, don't introduce anything on the ears, and just use a cotton a cloth to clean outside, and that's fine. And other people say, no, you have to clean a little with the little bastons, you know, the little sticks, clean inside. So I really want to know What do you think about this claim?
So the ears are self-cleaning. There are other parts of the body that are self-cleaning.
Oh, wow,
too.
Really?
The ears are self-cleaning. You don't need to get anything inside the ear canal. So we are provided with wax. That skin in that area makes this wax. Some people make more than others. But the wax is designed, and the skin is covered by these little hairs that are designed to move the wax to the outside. And that is the way nature prevents things from getting stuck in there, dust, germs, you name it. And so naturally the ear is constantly cleaning itself. All you have to do is just wipe, for those who make an excess of wax that is very visible, with once a day, maybe just clean the outside. If you give a bath to a child of whatever age, once a day, or a shower, you're gonna end up cleaning that area, because if you wash the hair, the water gets in there, you're gonna have to wipe it, you have to dry it. And that's the way you clean it while doing that. So you're gonna clean the earlobe, the auricle, the cartilage part, the outside part, but you're not gonna put anything inside the ear canal. And ENTs will tell you that the smallest object you're gonna put there is your elbow. So nothing inside the ear canal. And I have many, many patients when I am doing my physical exam, and older kids, you know, they come and I'm looking in the ears, and the mother always goes, oh, I hope you cleaned your ears today. And then I take the opportunity to tell them, well, we clean the outside. We don't really clean the inside.
Wow.
So, yep.
That's very interesting. And I think other question who usually the parents has is, one, when to give the newborn the first bath? At the hospital, or when you are back home, or you have to wait until they really smell something, like a lot of meal or something? I don't think this is the best way. But every day, every night, or because I think there are many opinions about that, no?
Yes, and this has changed even as professionals change our opinion about that in the last couple of years, because we had a study out of Cleveland, I think it was 2019, that showed that we don't really need to give that first bath the moment the baby's born. I remember being in the delivery room, and the nurse would just, you know, after a few minutes with the mom, grab the baby, and a few minutes after being born, that baby went through a complete bath, hair, everything. To remove secretions and to get the baby nice and clean to give back to mom. So what this study proved is that the fatty acid present in the amniotic fluid facilitate the lactation, latching, that instinct that makes the baby go to the breast and start the process of stimulating the nipple and breastfeeding. And so now most hospitals don't give that first bath until 8 to 12 hours of age. Some parents want to prolong that, and I have sometimes to go into a room where you see the baby's a couple of days old and hasn't been bathed. So then it produces another issue, which starts smelling, which means that if smelling means that bacteria is growing there. And so we don't want to prolong it too much, but apparently those first few hours are crucial and do make is important in the lactation process. Then after that, I forgot to tell you this when we talked in the Spanish part, but so the babies come to me when they are a few days old to the office, and the nurses at discharge usually tell the moms to give a bath like every, I don't know, 3 times a week, a couple of times a week only. And when they come to me, I tell them, well, now I want you to give them a bath every day. And they go, well, now what do I do? Well, remember that in the past we talked about my bedtime routine and how that helps with the sleeping and the process of, okay, signaling the end of the day. So what I recommend is that between 8 and 9 p.m., give the baby a bath if the cord is still attached, if it's still during the first few weeks of life, you do a sponge bath with water only if you want. What irritates the skin is always the soap. The water doesn't really irritate. And so if you give like a sponge bath between 8 and 9 p.m., after weeks of doing that every day at the same time, the baby's gonna know that what comes later is time to rest. And it's a way to kind of relax. At the beginning, the baby cries, and then they love it, especially when the cord is already gone and you can submerge in the water. So my advice is that daily bath, whether it's a sponge or just a quick into the water and out, just to signal the end of the day and to relax. And I think babies have been submerged in water, in the amniotic fluid, for so long that at the end they enjoy it, and it is a good signal about the end of the day. So bath after the first week, you can do every day. If you do it at the same time at night, it may be it may help you create a little bit of a routine after about 6 weeks about teaching the difference between day and night.
Wow, I love that times. It was really enjoyable. My newborns.
yes. And I something else that I wanted to point out before we go into your recipe is that hygiene. And we see this now. Hygiene is very important. We are washing our hands. They are telling us now with COVID to clean everything, and that's great. Water, running water, taking care of hygiene probably saved more lives in this earth over the centuries than any other public health measure. But what we are doing now in our society, in our modern society, we are cleaning too much. We are isolating ourselves from a very early age, from germs, from allergens. And so now emerge these hygiene hypotheses that tries to explain why is it that we are seeing more kids that get sicker and, you know, with viruses and with things earlier, and more allergens, more asthma, more reactions to the environment. And we think one of the theories is that back in the time when kids grew up in farms exposed to animals, exposed to nature, they were more resilient than now when we try to isolate everybody in big cities, when we never see everything is clean and hygienic around us. So balance, we have to balance our life. And like it's a matter of balance.
Yeah? Exactly, that's true, and common sense. And only the last question, I think, is about the clothes. How to wash baby clothes, because I remember with my first one has to be separated for the rest of the home, just delicated, the best neutral shop to use to wash them, use only cotton or natural fibers of the fabrics. So how this is now, we have to still separate the clothes or just in a regular laundry day, or how we can manage?
Well, I think, Fer, this is something that we all did for our first one, separating a special soap, and then the second one a little more flexible, and the third one, all the clothes went in together, and that's it. And I don't think there is right or wrong. Again, trying to minimize contact with irritants makes sense always, especially when we have a newborn, new skin. We don't know how, if it's going to be somebody with a very, very sensitive skin or not. And so it makes sense to use a very plain, neutral, without perfumes soap. Here in the United States, I always recommend Tide Free. And as a mother of somebody who always had problems of eczema, we all learn to use Tide Free to this day, even when we at home now, we don't have any issues with the skin, but we continue to use that one. I think what irritates is the perfumes in the soaps. What irritates is the softener. The liquid softeners tend to irritate too. In general, those little towels that we put in the dryer, especially if they don't have any smell, any perfumes, are okay for people with sensitive skin. And so, it makes sense to use a neutral plain soap regardless. If you have a family history of skin issues, more so. If you have a newborn at home, more so. Whether you separate your clothes from the others, it also makes sense. I mean, if you have a profession that brings home very, very dirty clothes, obviously you're not going to wash it with a newborn. I mean, there are a lot of common sense things. If that's not the case and you have three kids and you cannot do loads for every single one of them, put them all together. Yes, just a neutral, no perfume soap, and everybody will be happy. So I think every answer is a right answer in this case.
Yes. Lot of common sense, of course. Yes, exactly. And your instinct as a mother too. No, of course. So right. I bring today a recipe. And it's funny because the other day I attend a seminar about the hygiene in the kitchen. I know everyone talking these days on the pandemic about wash your hands, keep everything clean, but we have to be especially precautious in the kitchen, at least us as a catering, like you serve food to other people, to be sure you take all the measures. So the first thing, and I would like to start this recipe, is washing your hands as we do in our commercial kitchen professionally. So it's just for 5-10 minutes with soap between your fingers, one hand to other hand, and even including your wrists. Because sometimes, especially when you are working with dough or making cookies or something, it's so important to keep your nails and your hands very, very clean. So the recipe I bring is a legumes recipe making with lentils. I think it's perfect now for fall and winter. It's like a soup, perfect for kids, so nutritive with a lot of iron and a lot of proteins. So I think it's a really great resource to afford the winter season with the flu, with the cold, with the coronavirus. Everything is gonna for sure help. And the good thing is all the kids love it. I don't know why, but this is a legume. Usually the kids love very much. So this recipe is, I cook the recipe in the slow cooker because it's the one I have and it's so easy for me. But you can use also your Instapot. If you don't have time, if you don't have a slow cooker, you have an Instapot. The difference is in the Instapot, you're gonna cook the lentils in 10, 15 minutes. And in the slow cooker, you're gonna cook overnight or during the day for 6 hours in medium heat. So the ingredients for this recipe is gonna be like a 1 pound of lentils. They are a dry legume. So we need to hydrate it, the legume. How? During the day or overnight. I like to put overnight in cold water. Just cover generously the lentils with cold water and let's rest over the night. So all the legumes, they dry, hydrated, and be ready to cook. So 1 pound of lentils, bay leaves. I love bay leaves. So I use 2, 3, 4. It's just I took some and put on the lentils. 2 tablespoons of smoked paprika. If it is from Spain, much better. I like to use vegetable and beef stock. If you want to use stock, you can use water, but I think the vegetable stock or the beef stock give a really good flavor. 3 carrots, 3 potatoes, 3 garlic cloves, and salt, olive oil. And you can use smoked ham bones, like it's so easy to find in any grocery store. Or in my case, I have some leftovers of a piece of smoked ham. So I just cut in pieces. You can use from Thanksgiving leftovers. If you have some smoked ham from Thanksgiving and you have leftovers, you can cut in pieces and use to make these lentils. And the flavor is gonna be really, really good. And also you can add some sausages if you like it, like chorizo, Spanish chorizo, or any Italian sausages if you want it. So it's as simple as take the lentils from your water, like you wash overnight. So remove them from the water to put on your slow cooker and start adding all the ingredients. When you put the stock, remove well with a spoon to be sure all are well mixed in cold and connect your slow cooker for 6 hours in medium heat. The only thing is the garlic cloves. You have to smash them on your counter with a knife. Just smash them so all the flavor of the garlic go out. You can add onion if you like it. I prefer not, but it's just your flavor. So if you prefer to use it, you can use it. And that's all. And you can start smelling after the 4 hours in your slow cooker. The kitchen starts smelling like a stew so well. And enjoy. It's so simple. It's just 15 minutes to prepare the slow cooker. Or if you use your Instapot, it's exactly the same. Just put everything on the Instapot, remove well to mix the paprika, the salt, and everything, and let's cook for 10, 15 minutes. And after that, in the Instapot, let's rest the lentils for a little time. So they absorb more liquid, and it's gonna have a little more thicker. If there are a lot of liquid, the only thing you can do is just remove some lentils, use a mortar with a pestle, make like a puree, and back to the lentils, mix well, and they're gonna be a little more creamier if you like more in that way. And enjoy, go to the table and enjoy.
Yes, and I wanna encourage anybody who is not familiar with legumes and lentils in particular to try. It's very easy. I don't think you can get it wrong. If it's not cooked enough, you just cook it more. And so that's the only problem that you may encounter. But it really takes, you know, a lot of things that you can add, like you say, vegetables, meats to it, if you want. And so I encourage you to try. It's a classic for us.
It's very classic.
Yes. I want to thank everybody for being with us today. And we'll try to be here every week. We'll try to come back with more advice and with more recipes. We hope to have our ladies, Veronica and the other moms, soon. Give us a like. Tell us what you think. Give us your opinion and your ideas. We will try to answer questions if you give it to us. So please do that. And we hope you have a great week. And we'll see you next week. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Marta. See you next week. Take care. Be safe.